This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon is away. I'm Steve Inskeep.
There is no other choice for those who use threat and aggression but to be repelled, even if they were to bring harm to their targets.
Iraqi President Saddam Hussein in Baghdad on Thursday, warning the United States and its allies against launching a military campaign in Iraq. Joining me now to discuss the week's news is NPR's Dan Shore. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, Steve. Welcome to the big time.
Thanks very much. Delighted to be here. Let's talk a little bit more about this speech that Saddam Hussein gave. Another thing that he said is the forces of evil will carry their coffins on their backs to die in disgraceful failure, taking their schemes back with them.
He has a way with words.
I'm wondering what you made of his choice of words.
He says what he has to say, that's all. I mean, he simply says, we'll defend ourselves, we can take care of ourselves, please don't do it because, you know, I will lick you. It's just what he's supposed to say. The question now is, what's going to happen? And I thought it interesting that President Bush told the Associated Press yesterday that he has no timetable for deciding on military action. He may not decide this year. And then he says, and if I did, I wouldn't tell you or the enemy, which means that you're not quite sure what he's saying. But I think he is saying something about that he's not in a very big hurry. And considering that last January, at the time of the State of the Union, that he was saying that time is not on our side and we may have to move very quickly, there is all the sign of something happening now that has slowed things down considerably. And of course, you ask why, and well, he has found no support for an attack in the region there or among America's allies in Europe or elsewhere. Congress is a question mark. Probably more important, I don't think he can get a consensus among his own advisors.
Certain amount of concern in the Congress. Democrats have not spoken overtly against the possibility of a war. They've raised some questions about it. But this week, House Majority Leader Dick Armey, one of the leading Republicans, warned against launching an unprovoked attack.
Yeah, and that's interesting because Dick Armey, of course, is a conservative's conservative. And so when he goes up against the administration and says, you know, why don't we just let them rant and rave within their own borders? But there are also several other Republicans who seem not sure about the wisdom of an attack on Iraq. There is Senator Chuck Grassley, who's expressed his doubts. Brent Scowcroft, who was a national security advisor. You know, I don't think this is dividing quite on party lines. So if you wonder why Mr. Bush's timetable is slipping, I think it's because he finds support for an attack slipping.
One concern that members of Congress in both parties have raised is what happens after Saddam Hussein. What kind of country would it be then? Wondering if Vice President Dick Cheney might be trying to answer that question today. He's got some meetings today in Washington with Iraqi opposition leaders.
Well, it's interesting. They've had these six groups here, six different kinds of groups divided by ethnicity and by their belief. They've tried to raise their profile. They've had them here. They let them go on television. They had meetings, a short meeting with Secretary of State Colin Powell. Maybe they're going to see the Vice President, all of that. And here you have the Bush administration, which wants them on their side and wants to support them, but has a certain history of running out on friends like the Kurds in northern Iraq. Twice they promoted uprisings and then ran out when the going got tough. And I think what these people now want from the United States is to say, okay, listen, we're with you, we're still with you. We'd like to bring down Saddam Hussein rather by insurrection rather than by an invasion. But we want to know where you'll be when the going gets tough. And I think they've been very busy giving them assurances that next time around, if Saddam Hussein tries to wipe out the people in the north, the Kurds, the U.S. will be there with them.
Dan Shore, it's been widely presumed that the United States would have an easier time attacking Iraq if the Arab-Israeli conflict was not resolved, probably, but at least if it was made a little bit better than it is right now. I'm wondering if that is perhaps part of the purpose of some meetings we've seen this week. Secretary of State Powell, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice has been meeting with Palestinians. The CIA Director George Tenet meeting today with some other Palestinian officials. What's happening?
Well, what's happening? I think what's happening is that, first of all, they're trying to get conditions reestablished so they can begin to look towards resuming the peace process. I think they're trying to work out a reshaped Palestinian security force. And then maybe they can talk Israel into beginning withdrawal from Palestinian towns. But the status of Yasser Arafat, the one who sent these three Palestinians here, remains still very much in question. Then you get Prime Minister Sharon goes on television, calls the Palestinian Authority a gang of corrupt terrorists and assassins. So it doesn't look as though they're close to a peace process. You might say that they're somewhere near trying to get a pre-peace process organized with better security and at least some civil talk, and then maybe go back to the peace table sometime.
The other question, I suppose, is can you keep Afghanistan quiet enough that does not absorb all of your attention? And some people would say that we've been seeing signs in the last few weeks that Afghanistan is not as peaceful as some people might have hoped it would be by this time.
I don't think that Afghanistan is ever as peaceful as people hope it will be. Here you have President Karzai is having trouble establishing his authority outside Kabul, having trouble establishing his authority even in his own cabinet. The violence goes on. There's this big explosion in Jalalabad, which may or may not have been an accident. And now the Christian Science Monitor reports from Afghan military intelligence sources that al-Qaeda is massing in Pakistan for a massive strike against Kabul. Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says situation in Afghanistan is good and improving. And if he says so, why should anybody question?
I would want to add that it's kind of hard to question anything in that country simply because it's so hard to establish reality.
Also true.
Turning to the economic bailouts in South America, the United States now offering $1.5 billion in an emergency loan to Uruguay, and this is one of several aid packages headed for that continent. And this is interesting because just a few days ago, it seems, Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill had been critical of loaned money going straight into private Swiss bank accounts. He seemed to suggest the very course the U.S. is taking now was a hopeless course.
Secretary O'Neill is a subject all by himself. What he says and then what he doesn't say is sometimes we spend a lot of time talking about interesting man. But I think basically President Bush is learning what a lot of presidents have learned before him, that when you talk bailouts, you're not just talking about philanthropy and giving away money. What you're talking about is the American interests. When you talk about Brazil, for example, American banks like Citigroup, Morgan, have enormous investments. And if they want to save those investments, you may have to do some bailing out. And I think they form a very potent lobby for bailouts. I think the administration has come to realize you just can't afford to let an important trading partner just simply go down the drain. They learned that in Asia, they learned that in Mexico, that economic problems get globalized.
Last subject we have time for, Dan Shore. It is interesting that President Bush and Vice President Cheney, of course, continue to try to reassure people about the U.S. economy and about the stability here. At the same time, we have WorldCom making yet another embarrassing announcement. They said, we didn't hide $3.8 billion. We hid more than $7 billion in expenses.
That's right. And I think this is going to go on. And I think it's going to take us right up towards the very next election. And the only thing that we're waiting to see is how it falls out. Normally speaking, when you have a scandal of this dimension, it tends to work against the incumbent. Whether it'll do that again this time, I guess we'll have to see.
NPR senior news analyst Daniel Shore. Dan, thanks very much.
Pleasure.